Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Tirubha Mahamahotavati Ti Ki Jai. Srila Gadadhar Pandit Tirubha Mahamahotavati Ti Ki Jai. Shyamavasya Ki Jai. Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varenya Srila Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mara Charja Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Primanandi. Well, Hare Krishna. So today's the Sandhya Tiro Bhav of Bhaktivinod Thakur, means disappearance, and Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And that's not just coincidental. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the concluding words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, he says, if I look very deeply at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that means, and what does he mean by looking deeply? Not in his physical appearance, but the substance of who Bhaktivinoda Thakur is personally. He says, if I look very deeply into his spiritual qualities and characteristics, I see Srimati Radharani herself. That is the ultimate conception of Guru. Guru in its highest representation, and the highest representation in Madhura Rasa, seen as Srimati Radharani herself. So we have Astanayika's eight, in a sense, expansions, extensions, but coming from one. So I see Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Radharani, and in Krishna Leela, and in Gaura Leela as Gadadhar Pandit. Right. So sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj will remind us that, although Gaura Kishoras Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent Srila Saraswati Thakur to Gaura Kishoras Babaji Maharaj for initiation. But really, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also to be considered his guru, and in the most substantial sense. So Guru Maharaj told us many deities. We were told when we excuse me, when we have Sri Sri Guru, Gauranga Gandharva, Govinda Sundar, and others, that in many instances the word Vinod will appear there, like Radha Vinod, and in different ways that to reveal Srila Saraswati Thakur's exclusive focus on the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimal Abhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Ah, Va, Du, Ta. Someday Mahaprabhu gave an explanation. Not at this time. We're saving that for another time.
Yes.
But Guru Maharaj, when at the famous Mayapur meeting, where Guru Maharaj is invited and Srila Gurudev accompanies him, it's the opening of the ISKCON Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, meant to be the international flagship Mat. Guru Maharaj, part of what he said in that talk was, he says, what was conceived of in the affectionate, melted heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? He spoke of it in that way, and Gurudev would say this many times. What was conceived, this whole Krishna consciousness movement that we aspire to, is conceived in the affectionate, melted heart of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. he descended in this world and saw a great calamity that Mahaprabhu had appeared 500 years ago, inundated the world in Krishna consciousness, right? Bishwa Gora Rase Magnam, right? And the six Goswamis and their disciplic descendants, everything. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur observed that somehow the sampradaya had become modified beyond recognition. It had become adulterated, polluted, and so much so that Vaishnavas had a bad reputation in polite society. Right? People, they didn't want to hear about the Vaishnavas and their practices. So what is the Bhaktivinoda Virahadasakam, Srila Guru Maharaj, right? What is it? Dharmas charmagato gyateva satata bogascha bogatmako. We get the rest, but talks about the situation that he observed. So it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who did a course correction for the sampradaya and the line. What had been lost, modified, adulterated, was reestablished by him. And what is that? Guru Maharaj recorded in the Bhaktivinoda Virahadasakam, which he wrote maybe in 1936. This was the poem that Srila Saraswati Thakur saw in his lifetime. These other songs we sing, like Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Vadam, they were written afterwards. But the Bhaktivinoda Virahadasakam was written in Saraswati Thakur's lifetime. He personally read it and made some astounding observations about it. But particularly this line, where he says, Sri Gauranumatam Swarupa Viditam Rupa Grijenadritam Rupadye Pariveshitam Ragugunai Ashwaditam Shevitam Jivadyaya Birakshitam Sukashiva Brahmana Samanitam Sri Radha Parasevanamritamaho Tadatumisho Bhavan. In this sloka, he identifies what is the gift of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All of the slokas are wonderful. And some of them he's saying that what Ramanuja came, his contribution, Sampradayaka Charja, what Madhva gave, what you have given Bhaktivinoda Thakur, exceeds that. It's very high, accurate, intense glorification. Guru Maharaj is saying he surpassed Ramanuja Charja and Madhva Charja. That's what he says, if you look carefully in the verse. And so many other things are each sloka is a type of siddhantic jewel. Right? But particularly this one, when Saraswati Thakur saw this, he said, you know, who wrote this? And I think Goswami Maharaj was there and so on. They said, Sridhar Maharaj. And he said, Sridhar Maharaj has not written this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this through him, saying that's how perfect the description. And what is this description? It shows Guru Maharaj's ability to weigh and assess the value of different personalities, including Swarup Damodar, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Baladev Bidyabhushan. What are the relative positions of Brahma, Shiva, Sukha, Uddhava? This is in one sloka. So Saraswati, that's when he said, and not only is this ontologically a gem, but it's in a very happy style, the way he's presented it. It's very, makes us happy to vibrate Guru Maharaj's poetry. But what does he say there? Sri Gauranumatam Swarupaviditam. Just like Rupa Goswami, Krishna's Babaji Maharaj would say that, when Guru Maharaj said, or people would ask, why do you like to sing the songs of Sridhar Maharaj and the slokas of Srila Sridhar Maharaj? He said, because they're the like Rupa Goswami slokas. So Rupa Goswami says, Swarupam Bibranam Jagatatulyam. No one compares to Swarup Damodar and his knowledge and understanding of Mahaprabhu. Remember, the Chaitanya Charitamritam is based upon Swarup Damodar's notes and what he transferred of his conception to Raghunath Das Goswami and from Raghunath Das Goswami to Krishnas Kaviraj. So how important Swarup Damodar is, we can't even properly conceive. And he's told, Mahaprabhu Dutiya Kalevar, is Mahaprabhu's second self or other self, Mahaprabhu the second. Right? So he's saying, Sri Gauranumutam Swarupa Viditam. Why he really descended in this world, that's only known to Swarup Damodar. And that's, and we could say also an indirect advertisement for Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. Because while all Vaishnavas revere Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's written from a different perspective by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, whose internal identity is that of a cowherd boy and one of the eternal associates of Nityananda Prabhu. So he's written beautifully and perfectly from that perspective. But this unique Radha Bhava Dyuti Subolita to reveal the inner aspect of the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's given by in the Chaitanya Charitamritam and based principally upon the notes of Swarup Damodar, his slokas, like Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shakti Rasmad, and other things. I said, here, just bring it. It's his cup is empty, or almost. There we go. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So, anyway, so Sri Gauranumatam Swarupa Viditam Rupa Grajain Adritam. So, only Swarup Damodar knows really, fully, truly the descent of Mahaprabhu and his the internal aspect of that. And what that is worshipped by Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. Rupa Grajain Adritam means the elder brother of Rupa Goswami. So, okay, let's try and... So Sanatana Goswami Prabhu is worshipping...
There's that book. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Does everybody have what they need? All right, let me just try to... I won't try to speak that long. So we're told Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, this is worshipable to him. Rupa Dye Pariveshitam. And Rupa Goswami, he's... through his writings, he's the Bhakti Rasa Charja. He's distributing this divine substance. And Raghugunai Ashraditam Shevitam, Raghunath Das Goswami and his group, and that includes Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, they're relishing the substance, and by their relishing, it's becoming even more tasteful. Right. Anyway, Jivadye Abhirakshitam, and Jiva Goswami, and Baladev Vidyabhushan, they're protecting this from adulteration, modification, or from those who would challenge its legitimacy. Right? They're keeping it protected and intact. Right? It's so exalted. Jiva Dyeya Virakshita, Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, Uddhava, they're all aspiring for a drop of this substance. Remember, he's saying, this is the gift of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Right? This is the substance of who Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What he's giving, Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, Narada, Uddhava, they aspire for a drop of this. What is it? Sri Radha Padasevanamritamaho Taddatum Isho Bhavan. Radha Dasyam. The service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So in this sloka, Guru Maharaj is identifying, this is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world. And then, very perfectly, in the next verse, Guru Maharaj expresses his own aspiration. So if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so great, I'll make my appeal to him directly? No. He's saying, and you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who are giving this gift to the world, who are so great and exalted, if you'll grant me, bless me that I can become one of the servitors of your dear, you know, Dvaita Das, which means Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, very perfectly, he has represented Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his gift there. Srila Saraswati Thakur was very happy to see that. That's when he said, now I may leave the world, but at least one man will remain behind who can represent me fully. And that man is Sridhar Maharaj. So, in other words, he's saying, this gift that Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to give, one man received it. Like, now I can, at least I can rest assured, someone is a recipient, a beneficiary of this divine substance. So that's very high praise and recognition given to Srila Guru Maharaj in that case. And it's told us that Bhakti, in one of the slokas Guru Maharaj composed, he's delineating the comprehensively the gifts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Guru Dham, Granth Dham, Gaura Dham, Nama Dham, Uda, Bhakti Dham, Buri Dham, Bande, Bhaktivinoda Dham, Sada. He's given us all of our songs. Our songs are primarily Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Thakur. All of the books that we have, they were reprinted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Saraswati Thakur. The Chaitanya Charitamritam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. He reveals Mahaprabhu's abode and his birthplace. For those who've gone on the Navaditam Parikrama, sometimes you'll be in a place where there's nothing. There, it's an open field. There's no temple there yet. There's no, and the devotees will assemble there. They'll pull out the Navadvipam Mahatmyam and start telling you all the divine things that happen there. How do they know that? Because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is his divine vision. He saw all of these things. What we read in the Navadvipam Mahatmyam, Jaiva Dharma and other places is unparalleled. He's revealing things that have never been known before to anyone, at least made public, you can say. Right? What the nine islands of Navadvip, what they represent, what was there previously, all of this was revealed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We were telling the other day when he was very sick, and death, on the verge of death, is when he got the assignment in Krishna Nagar, when he was riding on the train to go to Krishna Nagar. You can still see those tracks, what they call it, narrow gauge. It's only around this wide. When I first went there, we used to go in that train sometimes. When going from Mayapur to Calcutta, you could take that train to a certain place, get off there and go somewhere else. And we used to be enthralled, thinking, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur rode his divine form, you know, moved along these tracks. But in this near death-like condition. He pushed on and went to Krishnanagar. He found ancient maps. Because remember, over 100 years, the Ganga changes course. Sometimes there's flooding. So a lot of the places of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu were submerged underwater for 100 years. So when they resurfaced, where everything is, it's not so obvious. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is getting out maps that the British have made, and he finds this one map, and there's a place on it, and it's called Myapur, M-Y-A-P-U-R. So he's saying, this is worth looking into, this Myapur place. And when he goes there, he's trying to find Mahaprabhu's birthplace, and what are they told? The local Muslims who are now populating the place, they say, oh, that place is useless. Nothing grows there. We've tried cultivation there. You can't grow anything there. Well, there's one thing that grows there. There's Tulsi everywhere. So we don't bother with that place. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this place I would like to see. That's why he, if you look across the Jalange and Saraswati, he was living in what do you call it, Swananda Sukada Kunj or Surabhi Kunj, and that's where there was a disciple of Saraswati Thakur who was a neighbor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His name was, what was it, Parbat Maharaj. Anyway, he would hear at 3 o'clock in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would come out of his house, and there's a cement, seat, right? Made out of cement. Bhaktivinoda, that's where he would sit and take the name of Krishna. And what caught the attention of this man, who later became Saraswati Thakur's disciple, he said, the way he was taking the name of Krishna, he said it was like someone was crying out to their beloved in the great distance. It was like heart-shattering, heart-melting sound that he would hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur making at 3 o'clock in the morning when he would come out and sit there and be taking Krishna Nam. But it's in that same place also that Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this shining city of devotees, followers of Mahaprabhu. So he could understand that was the direction of the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. Also, at around a little after 4 o'clock in the morning, when he'd be there, a breeze would come from Devapoli, Nisringapoli, and pass by him and go in the direction of the Yogpit in Mayapur. And he concluded that Nisringadev was going to Mangal Arati. This is the type of vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Guru Maharaj said, once he is taking Krishna Nam and walking in the sky, what does that mean? He's walking in the subtle existence, taking Krishna Nam. And he said, and there were a group of Mahajans assembled having their own Bhagavad Gita class. And they're discussing the Gita sloka, Api Chet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananyabhak. That's Sadureva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasitohisa. Kipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sashvat Shantim Nigachati Konteya Prati Janihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. So they're discussing, they want to know, what's an Ananyabhak? This is all saying, these slokas, it's all based upon the devotee being an Ananyabhak. Means an unalloyed pure devotee. But they're saying, what does that mean really? And then one says, well, here's an Ananyabhak Bhakta. They say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur coming. Let's invite him to explain this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives Gita class to the Mahajans. So who is Bhaktivinoda Thakur? How can we conceive our good fortune by the grace of our Guru Varga to have some connection with him? Right? It seems unreasonable, untenable, unthinkable, impossible. yet by His grace, extended through our Guru Varga, that opportunity is before us. So, I don't want to take up all the time, so I'll say a little something about Gadadhar Pandit, and I'll tell it, and then Maharaj will speak. Is that, you know, when Prabhupada went to see Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he was in the company of one devotee, Achyutananda, and he saw that Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada, they're having some very deep conversations about Krishna consciousness. And he was wondering, what were they? And we know from Hidden Treasure of the Sweet Absolute, the Dami Bhuti Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite, on this sloka, some interpretation of Upapati and Paramora Parakya Rasa, things like that. But Prabhupada told to Achyutananda, if I told you, you would faint. Because the conversations were in Bengali, and at the time he couldn't follow. But that's what he told her. If I told you, you would faint. And later, Guru Maharaj would repeat this. It made him happy. He liked it. And he would sometimes interpret it, saying, yes, you can't maintain your consciousness in that plane. Maybe you'll have a glimpse, but you won't be able to keep your consciousness there. Right? You'll become fainted to that. So he liked that. It was a way to indicate how high it was, and at the same time give you a little something, but not more than maybe you should hear. So sometimes in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock or so, I could go upstairs and sit with Srila Guru Maharaj, and Srila Gurudev would be there, and sometimes reading some mail or letters or just general things. And for some reason on this one day, I said, you say, you know, that Swami Maharaj told, if you hear this, you will faint. But what is an example of that? And Guru Maharaj couldn't hear me, but Gurudev couldn't. Gurudev started laughing, but in a very sweet way. And Guru Maharaj was going like, okay, what? You know, and Gurudev was telling me, he said, Goswami Maharaj wants to hear something that will make him faint. That you should make him faint. And once, when Guru Maharaj understood what he was saying, then the two of them, they start discussing what that could be. But like in Bangla, they're going back and then, well, I could say, no. And Guru, well, you could say, you know. Then finally, they decide, Guru Maharaj starts explaining his Gadadhar Pranam, what he wrote for Gadadhar Pandit, when Bhaktivinoda has the Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, Bhagavat is 18,000 rays, slokas, sun. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes 1,000 of those for Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, like a mala made out of 1,000 Bhagavat rays, slokas. Guru Maharaj was going to make around 200 or 300, and he composed some of the introductory slokas, one for Vyasadev and some others, but one for Gadadhar Pandit, which I believe gives some hint as to the quality of the selection that he was, the selection criteria. So in that verse he says, Nilam bodhi tate sada suviraha kepanvitam bandhavam Srimad Bhagavati katha madhiraya sanjeevayan bhatya Srimad Bhagavatam katha swanayanasrupayanai pujayam Goshami prabharo garadhara vibhur bhuyat madeka gati Goshami gadadhara prabharo gadadhara vibhur means, he's saying here, Gadadhar, he's calling Goswami, he's the best of all of them. Right? Because as Guru Maharaj will explain, when Krishna has looted the heart of Srimati Radharani, the remainder is Gadadhar. Krishna's plundered the heart wealth of Radharani. So Gadadhar is in this pathetic position, and to a certain degree. looted of the original wealth. So here, which reveals the, again, the purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent to Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake, to reveal the glories of Radharani to the world. We generally think Krishna, but really he's come down to show how exalted Radharani is and her love for Krishna, Krishna Prem, which is another name for Krishna consciousness. So he says in this verse, Nilam Bodhi Tate Tata means on the shore of the blue ocean. That means in Puri, Nilachala, Nilachala Chandra. So it means in Jagannath Puri, on the shore of that ocean, Mahaprabhu, what is he doing? Svaviraha. He's experiencing separation from himself because he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Kepanvitam Bandhavam means in the association of his dearest friend, Gadadhar Pandit. And what is Gadadhar Pandit doing? To bring some relief to the heart of Mahaprabhu, feeling the depths of Krishna Viraha. He's taking slokas from the Srimad Bhagavatam and supplying them to Mahaprabhu like intoxicants. Guru Maharaj said, just as if a friend was lovesick and they're separated from their beloved, another friend comes and offers them some intoxication to relieve the pain of their heart, to make them forget their sorrows, their troubles. But here, what is the intoxicating substance? Are these slokas from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember, this is the introduction to a sloka collection. So he's saying, so what are those slokas? But here we find something extraordinary. Srimad Bhagavatam Katha Swanayana Srupayanai Pujayan. Tears are streaming from the face of Gadadhar Pandit as he recites these slokas. Just think, as only Radharani can. Radharani is selecting these slokas. She knows what Mahaprabhu is feeling. So Radharani, as Gadadhar, is taking these particular slokas and supplying them. But in the process, like lotus tears are streaming from the eyes of Gadadhar Pandit, falling onto the pages of the Bhagavatam. And once the sloka is recited, that sloka is washed away. It doesn't remain there anymore. We won't know what that is. And he's saying, to that Gadadhar Pandit, Goshami Prabhuro Gadadhara Vibhur Bhuyat Madeka Gati. Let this, what I am offering here, be exclusively, the exclusive target, be that best of the Goshamis, Gadadhar Pandit. So, that Gadadhar, that's when we were in Puri, remember, we went to the Tota Gopinath temple, and that's where Gopinath, Gadadhar's worshipping Gopinath. You're going to speak now, Maharaj. This is my last thing to say. That is so, irresistibly drawn an attraction to the, imagine, Radharani, Gadadhar, is worshipping this deity. And becoming older in this plane, and it's becoming more difficult to worship. So the deity crouches and sits cross-legged to make it easy for Gadadhar to continue that worship. So we can hardly say enough in praise of Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We tried to say something, and now Srila Bhakti Bimala Avadhut Maharaj, if you could say something in their glorification.
First of all, it's a big fortune to hear something about Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Srila Goswami Maharaj. You know, I just was in America. And sometimes we would meet with devotees and talk about each devotee, his qualities and his faults. But we would always talk to some devotee and always and Krishna consciousness be very fortunate if we can describe the glorious position of devotee or his special qualities. You know, every devotee has special qualities. Somebody is a great singer, somebody is a great preacher, somebody is a great cook. So we were very fortunate to, you know, everybody asked me, oh, how's Goswami Maharaj doing? Why he's not coming? Then, you know, there are many excuses. Oh, he's got a particular nature, he stay in Thailand, he preach on the internet. You know, there are many, so many excuses. But one thing is, Amar, it's not your glorification, but it's the introduction to talk today. But devotees like Janarda Maharaj and others, they would always say, well, actually, without Goswami Maharaj, we wouldn't have this great access to this great wealth. Maybe Guru Maharaj would sit with Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj on, you know, on the roof, and Govinda Maharaj would be, you know, serving them. But really, someone to take that wealth, draw that wealth, and be able to freely distribute in forms of books and talks in a very, very profound, very, like, deep way, we know it's Goswami Maharaj. So he's kind of like, has a little bit of that mercy of Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to describe these things. They would not come to your mouth. But we can also say, you know, it's endless talk about when we deal with divine personalities, when such as Gadadhar Pandit, because if we look at the Bhaktivinoda Thakur personality, we can say, he's a very interesting person. He's actually a writer and police detective, because he's in charge police. So he's coming to Navadvip Dham from Puri, from like Jagannath, and making his investigation on Mahaprabhu. And you know, actually, it's a great film. It's a great, like, I see this as a film. Some kind of a very exalted person like Bhaktivinoda Thakur coming as a policeman, and you know, as a detective, he's searching. He's actually searching on, you know, like, what is the idea of the search? Normally, like, police detective would have to find something, stolen something. Well, we also know that Mahaprabhu kind of stolen, you know, Krishna stolen heart and hell of Radharani, and he wants to experience that. So it's kind of a, we can say, you can't call it divine crime, but it's something very unusual, something that does not fit frame of ordinary activity, because we would think, you know, spiritual world, it has very structured way, you know, like, you know, Vrindavan, Dvaraka, you know, Vaikuntha, but that's a kind of like human approach to that. Krishna is a great experimentator. Krishna is Rasa Raj. He wants to taste rasa, so nothing can stop him from being able to draw rasa from any possible mean he wants. So he wants to experience Radharani's feelings. He's becoming Mahaprabhu, and he's coming to this world. And just like Swarup Damodar and Gadadhar Pandit and all others, without actually those devotees, you can't really understand who Mahaprabhu is. And that's what says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If anybody really knows who Mahaprabhu is, he must be, you know, being around or heard from Swarup Damodar or Ramananda, right? Like, you can't know what Krishna consciousness is in a deep sense without being connected with those great people. It's just like, you can't really understand what Krishna consciousness is without deep inside of Srila Sridhara Maharaj. You can't understand it. He actually, you know, took to Mahaprabhu, you know, like Prabhupada took people to Krishna. Although he published Chaitanya Charitamrita and did so many wonderful things about Mahaprabhu, but really Mahaprabhu being revealed by Guru Maharaj. That's like Prabhupada's real Krishna, Mahaprabhu revealed by Guru Maharaj. But, you know, but we also know about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is doing deep spiritual investigation, and not only like his opening place of Mahaprabhu birth, that's not only what he'd done, actually, what he gave very beautiful inside feelings of Mahaprabhu, and so he must be connected with Gadadhar Pandit, and his connection is very deep. So if you look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, you'll see he's worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. That's his worshipful deity. And we all know there's Gaur Gadadhar deity, and you know, Champahati, you know, it's a great deity, one of the three deities established in time of Mahaprabhu. But at some point, we see that Bhaktivinoda taken that Gaur Gadadhar concept, and he's worshipping him, himself. That's his object of his worship. That's what he's concentrating on. So, you know, like some people thought, well, what's the difference between Gaur Gadadhar and Gaur Nitai? So we know Gaur Nitai is Audari Lila. It's when Mahaprabhu giving, you know, connection to all fallen souls like ourselves. But what would be the idea of Gaur Gadadhar? That's something very super confidential, which is cannot be translated by everyone. It belongs to few liberated souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but we can also understand not only he's drawing so much the deep devotional rasa, but he's also making from that divine substance so many different things like Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Prema Pradipa, you know, so many wonderful, it's Krishna Samhita. It's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur only talking about, you know, rasa. And he's actually based on that, we can say soup, cooking so many other things that we can digest and in the most beautiful way. So what Goswami Maharaj has revealed is the internal position of Gadadhar Pandit. And so when Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to write this Arkam Richimala, he meditates on Bhagavatam and he thinks, well, what would be the slokas that Gadadhar Pandit are giving to Mahaprabhu? So there are different Bhagavatam came to his heart. Bhagavat Arkam Richimala, like we pretty much know Bhagavatam, it's, you know, so many slokas, you know, it's like so many cantors, and this cantor Prahlad, this cantor Dhruva, and finally Krishna Lila. But that was not exactly the order that Mahaprabhu would study the Bhagavatam or would hear the Bhagavatam. So there has to be something, some slokas that really touch Mahaprabhu's heart. What would be those slokas and how to approach them? That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's specialty. He, through Gadadhar Pandit, would feel, you know, whatever been washed away by tears of Gadadhar Pandit actually came in the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's how big heart he had, and that's how he will connect with Gadadhar Pandit. So it's very interesting. Saraswati Thakur were his son, but he never really accepted Bhaktivinoda Thakur as father. He always see him, you know, in a very, very divine platform. So when Guru Maharaj
wrote that article,
yes,
to regard to his brother called Radha Badha Babha,
right,
whom he should have seen as Radha,
right,
he saw as father.
Yes. And actually, we know what is divine position of Saraswati Thakur. We know his divine identity. So we can understand that Saraswati Thakur is not some kind of a son or, you know, mundane person. He's a spiritual personality who came with special, you know, as we say, special elite force of spiritual world. So he came to this plane, and he had to be connected with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Otherwise, without that, his position would not be truth. So appearing as a son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but actually seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his divine perspective. And he said a very interesting, very, very interesting way. His vision is very interesting. But more for us is important as Srila Sridhar Maharaj, because in this book, Shishi Prapana Jivanamrita, which we published worldwide, and of course has been published in Russian and translated, there are great glorification of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Goswami Maharaj actually mentioned one principal sloka, Shri Guru Anamatam Swarupa Viditam. That's a very principal sloka because it's revealing the will of Mahaprabhu, and that's how current coming through Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But there's other sloka, which I only one I will read. So we always think, okay, this is a very great, very interesting person. He's got unique character. When he came, and as Goswami Maharaj mentioned, Vaishnavism was vague. It was vanished. It was like milked with the Bengali, you know, Hindu culture. It's become tantric, Mahakali. It becomes something else. It becomes something absolutely not pure. So there are a few Mahatmas hiding. They're chanting Krishna Nam, you know, they're practicing proper Vaishnava culture, but they're not actually opened up. People don't have eyes to see them, so they're hiding. Why they're hiding? You know, why Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj not marching with, you know, like big books and things? The reason they're hiding because they know everything's by will of Krishna. Krishna will send someone. Everybody knew that Mahaprabhu said, after I disappeared, sometime people will forget about my message. But then again, some great Mahatma will come and will open up. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So when those great Mahatmas like Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj and Jagannathdas Babaji Maharaj, they saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Saraswati Thakur, they were so happy because they understand, well, these guys came from spiritual world. They're going to open Mahaprabhu treasure hold. From, you know, right now we just have very few fortunate souls. We have access to Mahaprabhu. But this Bhaktivinoda, he came to open, he came to reveal. Because the Mahatmas, they know birthplace of Mahaprabhu. It was not unknown to them. And, you know, that's why he brought Jagannathdas Babaji Maharaj to that place. And Jagannathdas Babaji Maharaj start dancing. And why he's dancing? He's dancing because the time has came. So time has came to conceal that treasure hold which Mahaprabhu is hiding in Navadvip Dham. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur have said, many of the great writers who predict television or space travel, in early books, and people say, wow, you know, Jules Verne, he saw like underwater travel, 200 years ago, or this writer, he thought about mobile phones, 500 years before they came up, and his books, you can find some reference. But this is science fiction that came to some kind of a mundane reality. But think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's position. He had divine visions that one day the Germans, the Russians, the Chinese will come to Navadvip Dham Parikrama and they will dance and chant and sing Jaya Sachinandana. You know, if you tell this maybe like 50 years ago before Prabhupada came, this year is the 50th anniversary, people would not quite believe, and somebody would say, yeah, we saw Saraswati Thakur, there were like a couple of German guys, but that, 1,000 Chinese coming or 2,000 Russian, it's exaggeration, it's too much. But what we see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prophecy is not only fulfilled, actually it's going worldwide as a wave of Krishna consciousness. But remember, he came at a particular time, so Srila Guru Maharaj has very deeply described this time. At the time when religion become as an instrument of mundane bodily, idea, like bodily religion. We know what bodily religion is, like it's Muslim, Christian, I'm this, I'm that. So it has no spiritual connection. It does not connect with the soul. When those who are ignorant, completely ignorant, they've been recognized as a holy man. That's what we see now all over the world. Yeah, so somebody who's totally ignorant, people think, oh, he's a very deep religious man. Let us go to him. And, let ask him the question. And we know what the questions they ask this kind of people. Completely nonsensical question. When yoga becomes just sense satisfaction, like yoga becomes something that's pleasant for senses. And we know, they're like, I saw in Mexico newspaper, it says sexy yoga. Sexy yoga. And show some ladies on the beach, very good shape. And like, do your yoga and you'll be sexy. So some yoga teacher told me, I never really were successful with my yoga until I said, oh, do great fitness, do great body. Then so many people start coming to the yoga classes and they start practicing yoga. So we can understand, most people in the Western world even now understand yoga is totally mundane. People don't even like think this is, you know, bhakti yoga, some spiritual depth. When japa become is way to establish yourself as a spiritual person. And, you know, we see many people coming with beads and they're wearing beads or buying beads. So people pretend to spiritual positions. They're not really like doing anything spiritual, but so that was the rule. When asceticism become like ascetic, become as a way of take revenge. We know that from people start, you know, like Gandhi, he was fasting to stop the war. So people took the ascetic practices for mundane causes, however good they would be, but they still would be mundane. So when people giving donation from their position of, you know, how we call it, proudness. Like in, you know, many people, they're very proud that they give donation. Still in Thailand, people think, I'm very fortunate to give some donation to monk. But most people, they think, oh, I'm proud, you know, I can feed the monks. I'm very proud, you know. So that's my position. In other words, the world was really screwed up. And, you know, under pure religion, they were like total cheating and nonsense. At that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda had to descend. And what he did is, not only he discovered, you know, Mahaprabhu birth, did wonderful service in Jagannath Mandir, he actually straightened up the whole spiritual teachings. So if you look at his books like Jaiva Dharma or Chaitanya Shikshamrita or any other books, they actually pretty consistently explain, you know, step by step up to the highest. He actually, the danger is his books, that he's going too high, too quick. So sometimes he can write a book and he will start from very simple spiritual ideas. And by end of the book, you read something about, you know, very, very high confidential truth. You're not even supposed to tell this to people. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he can fit everything in one book. Considering that, you know, maybe one day some qualified people will read this. So anyway, Maharaj, I'm just finishing. I think I've said too much already. But speaking about his divine position, we can see that he came to this world. He considered one of the Goswamis, what he's like, seven Goswami. That's what they call him. And they would consider him actually, you know, a very important person, because every time needs its own prophet. It's just like, you know, why they make and remake of some film? Because every time it needs new light, new angle of vision, new understanding. The spiritual knowledge is very dynamic. It's not stagnant. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur not only coming with very fresh spiritual vision, he's also giving the trend. He's giving us, you know, very deep trend, which people like Guru Maharaj can follow. That's why Saraswati Thakur were very happy with Guru Maharaj, because he said, oh, you understand who Bhaktivinoda Thakur is. That's why you haven't wrote this. Bhaktivinoda wrote it from you. You've got special grace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Therefore, I'm very happy with you. That was Guru Maharaj's estimation by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, you know, now we have all this beautiful treasure published in different languages, and, you know, I can't believe it, actually. I took part of translation of this book. I'm thinking, it's not possible for me now. Now I have no time to translate anything. Like, I don't have any... But one day, actually, I took 1 month going to Mexico to edit this book. And I stay in a little hut in Mexico on ocean, Puerto Vallarta, and edit this book. And this was one of the best months in my life because I didn't do anything else, just work with this book. So people say, Maharaj, why are you not translating books anymore? I say, because if I start translating books, I can't do anything else. And that's why I understand Goswami Maharaj. You know, sometimes you wake up in the morning, early in the morning, you hear some voice of Guru Maharaj from his room. So you think he is, you know, hearing and reading all these things. And when you start doing it, you can't do anything else, actually. That's pretty much it. You're done, you finish, because you are totally taken by that divine current. You can't function outside. So Mahaprabhu, you know, he couldn't function outside of Krishna. He just wouldn't be able to. Or like devotees, sometimes devotees, they just can't function in this world anymore. But, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very unique position. He had all this wealth, and also externally, pretty powerfully, he's been distributing this in different forms and different books and meetings. And so we think, what kind of spiritual power he had? You know, nobody had that unique spiritual power. So we always pray for his, you know, for his benedictions, but we don't want to cross over Bhakti. We don't want to go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur directly. That would not be our culture. We actually want to be taken there to our gurus. And that's... So, in this regard, you know, devotees glorified Goswami Maharaj because he really took us to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Gan Govinda Maharaj, took the western section. And that's a proper way, because when somebody taking you to some higher place, he explains you what it is, how you behave, what you do, what, you know, just think of you going to the king. You don't even know how to say hello to the king, or if king will come to you, what would you answer? So this is our culture, this is our philosophy, where we've been taken to our Guru Varga by devotees. And there are, you know, different types of devotees. And marching towards Mahaprabhu to Bhaktivinoda with our teachers, with our Guru Varga, entering that kind of parade, you know. So maybe they're going high, we're going very low with little flags and like children, but in a particular order. So this is important. What Goswami Maharaj quote right now, this sloka, Nilam Bodhi Tate Sadakshi Padabandhavam, that is actually Guru Maharaj's sloka, which he wants to make 300 slokas favored by Mahaprabhu. And I'm sure he meditated on Bhaktivinoda's writing, Bhagavat Arkamrichimala. But actually Guru Maharaj is not revealing that fully, but he's giving one sloka. And he's giving that one key sloka. And I'm thinking, who can do actually take this sloka and extract some nectar from that sloka? Is definitely Goswami Maharaj has that.
No, it's not me. He said Gurudev could do it.
Okay. Well, I mean,
if he does it, I can help us understand it.
Right.
But I cannot do it.
Well, I'm not saying like the full thing, but at least that one key principle sloka.
I'm saying Gurudev told us, he said, that Guru Maharaj couldn't do it, but if someone could, it would be him.
Yes, for sure. But still, to draw something from that sloka today, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. I know some devotee, I'm not going to mention name, who would quiet code that sloka in front of some devotees. And why? Because if you don't know that slogan, Nilam Bodhi with Gadadhar Pandit and his eyes and tears, it's like the whole spiritual wealth of Chaitanya Saraswati is built around that sloka. So if you know that particular meaning of that sloka, then you can take to many different directions. You can make this Swarup Damodar to Ramananda Rai. You know, Haridas Thakur was watching this from very, very distance. So then you can understand what would be in that sloka. But anyway, maybe I say too much.
No.
Hare Krishna. Yes. I mean, actually, I'm the last person to say something like this because it's too high, but we're always inspiring for mercy. And if there are any mercy coming, that means also ability to glorify divine plane is within that mercy.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Thirubhava Mahamahotsavatiti Hi.
Jai.
Srila Gadadhara Pandita Thirubhava Mahamahotsavatiti Hi.
Jai.
Siyama Bhasha Hi.
Jai.
Maybe we can sing a song or two.
Sure.
Let's see. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It's on, I don't know, in the Russian book. The Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More. What page it's on?
It's there.
I know it's there. I just don't know it. The page 76.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. This is going. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Koro More.